Welcome back to another exciting episode of Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. I'm your host, Steve, and this is episode 94, where we're talking part two of formative assessment in the classroom. Last time we were together, Batman was given a riddle. The riddle went something like this. What does purposeful, not graded, and used to adjust instruction have in common with a soon-to-be-canceled TV show called American Idol? Did you figure it out? Well,
they're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, this is the second part of a three-part series about using formative assessment. If you didn't listen to last week's show, I encourage you go back there and listen to last week's, because that's part one. This is part two. So, last week our Cape Crusader was faced with a riddle. Riddle me this! What does purposeful, not graded, and used to adjust instruction have in common with the television show American Idol? So, do you know the answer? When we were last together, I had introduced my working definition of formative assessment. Formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities that will not be graded, that will reveal to the teacher what the kids know and don't know. The results of these activities will be used to adjust instruction to help the kids develop a better understanding, overcome confusion, or move on because they already get it. And I shared with you several character descriptions of students who may be sitting in your classroom. Remember, this is not an exhaustive character research grouping. This is just a start. So, number one, and by the way, you can insert he or she in any of these places. So, Mr. Compliant, this is the kid who will do whatever you ask. Just tell him what you want him to do. The recluse, leave her alone. Let her be. If you push her to get involved, she will probably just ignore you and not really try. The answerer has all of the answers and is usually correct. He wants to answer every question. The comedian looks for opportunities to make everyone laugh, sometimes appropriate, sometimes not. The disruptor seeks to take advantage of keeping the teacher off task and trying to find, what buttons can be pushed and how far he can go before he is really in trouble. The questioner, she usually has very high grades and wants to know more. This child always is ready with a question that will probably try your knowledge of the content. She has the greatest opportunity for driving you nuts because she will have a question. And lovestruck. This child is often Neverland, dreaming about holding hands and cuddly stuff. He is usually doodling, writing letters, and really not on this planet. Well, my point being, you need to use formative assessment because you don't know what the kids are really thinking about. You don't know if they are really following you unless you take time to find out. Mr. Compliant, for example, just because he does what you want him to do doesn't really mean that he is learning, does it? Maybe he is just giving you back what he thinks you want. He's not really learning it. He's just figuring out, there must be a game here. I'm just going to figure out how to give her back what she wants. The recluse pushes back if you call upon him to try to get you to not ever ask him a question or call him to the board again. He is hoping that you get afraid of what he might do. He is hoping that you will leave him alone. The answerer always wants to know answers. typically is right, and thus the teacher may always call on her. This means that the teacher does not know if others have any knowledge of the subject. The teacher needs to make sure that a routine is developed so that she knows who she called on and who she didn't. The comedian tries to make everyone laugh, especially the teacher. Usually, he is very good at getting the adults off task, which means that the teacher may forget to check to see if he's truly understanding or getting the content, and may just totally get lost in the content completely and not remember where they started or where they were, and who knows, next thing you know, his class is dismissed. The questioner has many questions and is naturally curious. She doesn't mean anything wrong by her questions, but she wants to know. The teacher may become annoyed by this and on purpose stop calling her. If this happens, then the teacher may not know when she is not getting the content. Another possibility is that the focus of the questions may take the student away from the complete focus of the learning targets or the point of the lesson. So there are several issues there. Lovestruck, he is enamored with someone else in the class or outside of the class. In the past, the student would be writing notes and doodling. Today, he might be trying to text or use Periscope, Snapchat, Instagram, you name it, to send a quick love note. No matter what, this student is on another planet and in a fog. Believe me, been there. If the teacher does not take the time to check to see if he understands, then you know what? She may be surprised to find out at the conclusion of the first test that he was not paying attention. So if these are reasons for using formative assessment, let's talk about the what. So the Riddler asks, what does purposeful, not graded, and used to address instruction have to do with American Idol? Do you know? Let's revisit my definition of formative assessment. Formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities that will not be graded that will reveal to the teacher what the kids know and don't know. The results of these activities will be used to adjust instruction to help the kids develop a better understanding, overcome confusion, or move on because they already get it. Let's take this definition apart. So in that definition, formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities. So let's look at is the purposeful use of activities. What does that mean? The word purposeful, let's take a look at that specifically. Now don't use the word to define itself. You've been told that a long time. Maybe with intent? Purposeful meaning with intent? Yeah. Meaning that you plan to use it. It is part of your lesson plans. The what, the when, the frequency. You're not flying by the seat of your pants. Oh, no, au contraire, mon friend. You create how you will and when you will check to see if they are getting it ahead of time. So if that's what we're talking about when we say is the purposeful use of activities, then not graded. Because it goes, formative assessment is a purposeful use of activities that will not be graded. Well, not be graded, no trick here. Not graded means, you got it, not graded. Not a little graded. Not just a little teensy weensy graded. But not graded means there is no penalty for your responses. Remember, you are trying to get information from the kids about what they know and don't know. There should not be a penalty associated with this. Okay, all right, already. I know. Some of you are thinking, but I have to grade everything. They expect it. They demand it. They want it. Well, they expect what you expect. If you tell them it is not graded and why, they will respond. Break them of the need of requiring a reward for performing. You can do it. Start tomorrow. Start on Monday. Just start. In the famous words of Nike, just do it. You'll be surprised how quickly you can break them of this habit. And so if we talked about is the purposeful use of, and we talked about not be graded, the third part of this is used to adjust instruction. Well, that means that the information that you collect is used to make changes in what you do in the class. This is what is missing from most checks for understanding. If the information is gathered only for the moment, the teacher cannot recall how or who did what, and the information doesn't make the teacher change her plans because what's going on at the time is just not recorded anyplace, so she doesn't know what to do, and she doesn't take time to figure out what she needs to do. But when you use it to adjust instruction, it lends itself for creating stations and groups because you're going to try and figure out a way to address what they know and they don't know. I know, someone is thinking, so what does all this have to do with American Idol? Oh, come on. Hello. Hello. I know somebody is thinking, there it is. Yes, I knew somebody was thinking, so what does all this have to do with American Idol? I'm glad you asked. See, I knew somebody was thinking that. Not in the beginning, but later when they narrow the number down to 24, and especially when there are only 12 left, you have to remember what is going on. American Idol is about marketing and making money. Thus, it is important to have ways to find out what the people want. So they plan the performances with the talent. The talent performs. The world gives feedback through websites, surveys, Twitter, Facebook, etc. The producers share their feedback with their coaches. Now, I'm not talking about the judges here. I'm talking about the coaches who most times you do not see, but you see the result of their impact on the performance and the performer. The feedback collected may say that the audience likes the singing, but thinks that the performer needs to help dressing or needs to change that hairstyle. What is that, 1972? You know, or needs to select better songs or needs help walking and singing. You know, it's funny, one of their famous ones went from trying to walk around, play the guitar, and sing at the same time to sitting on a stool. Went very deep into the competition. You know, sometimes it's just about smiling and how much they look at the camera and how they look at the camera. You name it, there are so many possibilities. Remember, they are trying to find out what people will buy. So they listen and they make changes and they send the performer back out to the world to see if it made a difference. Wow, do you see the parallels? It is formative assessment in the real world. Purposefully planning activities that are not graded, but the information is used to make adjustments. Cool. Our world uses formative assessment. They just don't call it that. In horticulture, like planting and selling cotton or corn or soybeans or some other crop, it's all about producing quality, high-quantity yields. Therefore, they plan to check for progress and use the information to make adjustments to what they are doing. Sometimes this happens during the season, and it always happens afterwards to make sure the next growing cycle is productive and rewarding. You know, they have to look at what pesticides they use, how much fertilizer they use, how much rain they got. Did they need more water? Do they need to stop using this pesticide and go back to this other one? Could they have used better fertilizers? You know, all those types of questions they ask and they try and put into the process because the next go around they want to have a better yield. By the way, when industry doesn't use formative assessment, the world gets mistakes like the Edsel, the Betamax, New Coke, and Joe Dirt 2. Yeah, who knows why? I mean, Joe Dirt 1 was, I'm not sure that was quite a good thing either, but they made a Joe Dirt 2. And of course, Scooby-Doo, where the monsters are real. And no one is unmasked at the end who says, and I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you, you meddling kids, and their little dog, too. Time for Scooby's neck. So let's review. If formative assessment is the purposeful use of activities that will not be graded, that will reveal to the teacher what the kids know and don't know, the results of these activities will be used to adjust instruction to help the kids develop a better understanding, overcome confusion, or move on because they already get it. And you have many kids in your classes who need you to figure out whether they truly get what you are doing or not. Then you need to use tools of formative assessment to understand what they know and don't know. So in part 3 of this short series on formative assessment, we will talk about some easy-to-use tools that will help you successfully develop an understanding of what the kids get and don't get about the content. And that information will help you plan to make changes to adjust your instruction to address their needs. So, do you perfectly understand the why and the what? Or has Dr. Freeze frozen your brain? Maybe poison ivy has caused you to lose sight of what matters. Next time we will look at some specific tools and inexpensive ways, actually most are free, to learn what the kids know and don't know so that we can change what we are doing in the classroom. So stay tuned, same bat time, same bat channel, for the exciting conclusion of Formative Assessment in the Classroom. Dun dun dun!
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.